Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Get a bonus bet up to $50 for second and third on selected races this weekend. Gamble responsibly.
Brad Gray is joining us from Racing New South Wales. Brad, it's a good day for racing, obviously, here at Randwick. But by gee, Sydney trainers could enjoy some time down at Caulfield as well.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Just listening to Peter Ellis's tips there, and he certainly gives plenty of the Sydney horses a hope. So fingers crossed for those travelling down the highway there. But geez, we're finally here. We've finally arrived, haven't we, Hoss? The day's finally arrived. We've been waiting for months and months. And I have noticed that in a lot of your interviews, as your slot holders and your trainers have said, they're losing sleep. Well, I can assure you it's the same for anyone trying to do the form on this race, because the more I think about it, the more confused I get. So many angles to it.
Well, I think the one thing that we generally can know now is that we're going to be on a heavy track. I think that from Lindsay's comments and the rain that we had around 9 o'clock, and I'm looking above, I can see a speck, the smallest speck of blue sky, but it's just going to roll in and out, and it won't improve off, well, we're a 9 now, and he thinks that it won't better 8.
Yeah, you're right. Well, at least we can take a little bit of confidence knowing that we're going to be working there on a genuine heavy track. So those that have handled it in the past, obviously, you can elevate up the order a little bit.
And Simon Denopoulos joins us from Racing and Sports. Morning to you, Simon.
Yeah, morning, Andrew. Morning, Brad. Certainly looking forward to it. I'll remain hopeful with the track, but look, certainly looking forward to the race there tomorrow. It's, you know, hard to really rule a line out of any horse in the Everest, and probably one of the best sprint races we've seen. It's really even, and it's more like who your stable stars are, I guess, who you're going to side with there tomorrow. There's a lot, you know, in the Trapeze, Artist, Vega Magic, and then obviously Shoals, Camp Center, and Elaine. So, and then you've got your Red Zella. It's just a belter of a race. Can't wait.
Yeah, understand. Well, let's get going with these tips. The three boys have sent through their race numbers. We've got maybe a clash, maybe two. We'll wait and see. But Brad Gray from Racing New South Wales, you like one in the Kosciuszko.
Yes, the more it rains, the keener I get on Don't Give a Damn for Denny Williams, $4 with Tab Fixed Odds. I wouldn't be surprised if this horse started favourite. Now, all through his career, Denny Williams has been very forthright in suggesting there's been a few hiccups along the way with this horse, but he's very, very good when he's right. And listening to Denny Williams at the moment, he certainly couldn't be happier. You go back through his form and he really flies fresh, so I really like the month between runs here. I think that's a perfect setup for him back from 1,400 metres, because you have a little bit of a residual fitness edge on a couple of the runners here, including Victorum, who's the favourite at the moment. Last start, I guess you can look at the form guide and think, oh, he's run 6 there, but he did have 64 kilos. Mm. It was a heavy track, and he was posted wide the trip. I don't think the track was the thing that slowed him down. It was just that big impost and being wide. If it was a big effort under the circumstances, the win prior to that, he, of course, tailed up Trekking, and we know how good that horse is going. Victorum did beat him in the country championships, but Danny Williams was chasing his tail with that horse, all preparation, tried to patch him up. He was on the quick backup. It was hardly ideal. So he's a big momentum kind of horse, and I think they're going to roll along. And as he clicks through his gears there, I think he's going to be very hard to chase down. So that's Don't Give a Damn there in the Kosciuszko.
Yeah, as you say, the early birds will kick in from midday, so a lot of interest in what prices these horses are going to be at that stage, but around the $4. And Danny said to me this morning, we've got fitness on our side. If it's like 1,400 metres tomorrow, that can only suit Don't Give a Damn. Brad's tip there, race 5, number 6. We move then to the very next race, race number 6, the Sydney Stakes, the Everest Consolation. And Simon, you've got a fancy in here as well as Brad. We'll start with you, Simon.
Yeah, I wanted to stick with Pierrata, Andrew. I was keen on his chances in the Epsom, and I just don't think he turned up that day. He was obviously well below his best. Admittedly, he wasn't beaten all that far, but certainly wasn't the Pierrata we'd seen at his first two runs back this time in. So I want to give him another chance. I know mile back to 1,200 with only 2 weeks between runs isn't necessarily ideal. Generally, I will rule a line through those horses, but I just think it sets up so well. And we obviously saw Trapeze Artist drop back from the mile to win the TJ in impressive fashion. Obviously, difference, he had 4 weeks between runs, but I think Greg would have just kept him fresh off that run in the Epsom, and his two prior performances were very, very good, and a return to that level of form sees him set a fairly lofty bar for his rivals on the weekend. Just from a price perspective, he started 7-2 in the missile when he won first up, and you're getting the same price on Saturday, and you're happy to argue this is a weaker race than what he contested in that missile. Obviously, Kementari was in that race. So I think this is a big drop back in grade for Pierrata. I don't think you'll have a concern with the wet track. He's a fit horse. Tommy Berry flying at the moment, so needs a touch of luck from that awkward draw, but if the real Pirata turns up on the weekend, he's going to be very hard to beat. So race 6, number 5, Pirata for me.
Righto, before the early bird kicks in, it's 4:40 at the moment, Pirata. That's race 6, number 5. You're going another way, Brad.
Yeah, we're going to clash here. So I mean, I'm with Tactical Advantage. He's a horse that is absolutely airborne at the moment. I know a lot has been made in the past about him probably being a little bit more dynamic on top of the ground, but his form certainly suggests that he gets through it. He's been flying for his new stable under the care of Chris Lees. He's won 3 from 4, and the loss there was a narrow one at the hands of Trekking, who he gave 7 kilos to. This is a big rise in grade, but he's always given the impression that he was a group class sprinter, and this has been his target race all along. So I think we can take a little bit of confidence in that. I see this race panning out really nicely for him too. You've got Jungle Edge rolling along out in front. He's drawn one. Hopefully the inside's not too bad. I don't think it will be too bad. That's often an easy trap to fall into, but you've got a fresh patch there on the inside. So hopefully he can just pinch the runs up the inside and then pop off the fence in the straight, because I think they will break up a little bit in this race with Jungle Edge rolling along. And he's going to pinch a bit of a break at the top of the straight there and hopefully be hard to run down. That's Tactical Advantage, race 6, number 9.
Yeah, $5.50 right now. It's a good point there, Brad. I mean, the rail was at 6th, what was it, last week, and it goes back into the true for nearly the first time in a month. So, I mean, by the time we get to these races, we're going to know, but it could be the ground early, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's the way that I see it playing out. Obviously, when it rains there at Randwick, you probably don't want to be hard fence, but I imagine just a couple off certainly won't be too bad there, as you say, in those early races. Whether we know more come race 6 and they start panning wide, we'll just have to watch.
You got a similar feel on that, Simon?
Yeah, it's funny. Generally, well, back in the old, not olden days, but generally rail true Randwick heavy track, it was, you know, get to the middle. But you look back at recent meetings when we have been on rain-affected going, and the fence is where you want it to be. So I think the fence will hold up. I think it'll be fine. It's just where the jockeys want to go, and obviously it's the shortest way home. So I think the inside draw, and obviously the wind there tomorrow, how it affects the races, but I wouldn't be concerned if you're drawn inside.
Understand. All right, so they're the boys' tips in race 6. Now, they've both got tips in race 8. Brad, I'll come to you here in the Craven Plate.
Yeah, I'm playing one with a bit of odds here. I think he slipped under the radar a little bit, and that's Invictus Prince. Matthew Smith, of course, trains this import. I think he slipped under the radar a little bit as far as his price goes. He heads into this Craven Plate, and again, like we said with Tactical Advantage, this has been a target race for him from the beginning of the preparation. I think a lot was made, of course, of his run behind Winks there first up, beating the likes of D'Argento, Kementari, Unforgotten. It was a pretty hot race there, and his form since might read a little bit flat, but I think he's just been desperate for 2,000 metres. He stayed at 1,400 metres second up, then ran midfield in the Epsom last start. But you watch his work right across the line, and he's just warming up there nicely. So I think the speed will be on here. You've got Mandillion, Classic Uniform, beats him, rolling all out in front. I think he'll just tuck in behind that, and I don't think the wet track will be a problem. I think we can take a little bit of confidence to the fact that Matty Smith has chosen this race, knowing that it's going to be a wet track, as opposed to Caulfield, where he, of course, was nominated too. So $15 at the moment. But as we keep saying, these early bird specials, with a bit of luck, hopefully we're pushed out to near 20 to 1 there or something. So that's race 8, number 8, Invictus Prince.
Yeah, $15. Matt Smith sort of said this week, he said, the horse has won on soft, but he's not sure on heavy, Brad.
Yeah, well, he has got a little bit of form on heavy track there. He ran second overseas. And as we know, quite often overseas heavy tracks is a quite a heavy track as opposed to the Australian one. So if he's handled that, I'm happy to take the punt there at the price that he'll get through it.
All right. Which way are you going in race 8, Simon?
Yeah, I've got to stick with Egg Tart, Andrew. I know she was disappointing. Well, I thought she was disappointing in the Hill Stakes. Now, you look at how the race was run. It was fairly steady. I know there was a mid-race move, but she simply looked just to get out sprinted, which was surprising given her performance prior behind Winks. But I just think that race, that run before, might have taken the edge off her a bit. So I'm expecting her to bounce back on Saturday. She'll have no concerns with the prospect of a heavy track there tomorrow. And I'm just happy to forgive that performance in the Hill Stakes and give her another chance, because that performance behind Winks was a new career peak for her. And if she can get back to that level of form on Saturday, I think she'll be too good. And again, I think the inside draws a bonus. There looks to be good speed, as Brad touched on. So she just gets a chance to stalk from that inside draw. Kieran McAvoy obviously knows her so well, placed in 6 of 9, and just want to stick with her at the price. I think we can give her another chance, because she was disappointing last start, I feel, given she was out-sprinted by Ace High, which you wouldn't expect. So I think she'll bounce back. As mentioned, that performance behind Winks leaves her well placed on Saturday. So I want to be with her. Race 8, number 12, Egg Tart.
Righto, before the early birds, it's $3.20 in favourite Egg Tart. So, Simon, you've got a fancy in the St. Ledger, race 9. This will be a test at this time of the day.
Yeah, for sure, Andrew. And look, I was doing the beaten jockey quotes at Randwick that day in the Hill Stakes, and Tommy Berry jumped off and said he thought he was going to run a clear second when he got off Egg Tart's back, but he just didn't want to let go on the firm surface. And he said, you know, if this horse gets on a wet track, certainly keep him in mind. And I want to be with him on Saturday. First time we see this horse getting out beyond 2,000 metres. His best form in France was certainly over 24. And with these imports, they're certainly better at their second preparation. And just looks to be building nicely. He loomed into it in the Hill Stakes. And as mentioned, it was sort of a walk and a sprint home. The closing splits there, ace high, just out-sprinted them. But thought he found the line well. He'll certainly relish a step up in trip on the weekend. He hasn't won in a while, over 700 days. But look, I think Tommy Berry gets him into a good spot from that draw. Tommy riding really well of late, tipping him to have a good day on Saturday. I think one foot in heaven, if he can build again on that last start performance, I think he's going to be hard to beat. So race 9, number 5, one foot in heaven.
One foot in heaven, and currently at $6.50, as I say, before the early birds kick in at midday, $6.50. All right, so they're the tips for the boys. Brad Gray, 5-6, don't give a damn. 6-9, tactical advantage. 8-8, Invictus Prince. And from Simon Denopoulos at Racing Sports, 6-5, Parata. 8-12, Egg Tart. And 9-5, one foot in heaven. Guys, and Simon, I know you're on tomorrow morning with us from 8 o'clock, but guys, can I get a top tip in the Everest for our Friday listeners? Brad, I'll come to you. You've explained, you've looked at this race every way possible.
Yeah, it got to a point where I just had to finally write down a name and just commit to something. And the name that I did land on was In Her Time. I think the $13 or around about that price is a good gamble at the moment. I thought she was just as good as anything else in the Premier Stakes there first up. She's the one with a little bit of improvement to come, given those first two home did have the run under their belt. So I think the wet track will be okay for her. So about $13, I'm happy to play In Her Time.
Okay, so in the Everest, number 9, In Her Time for Brad Gray. And Simon, what about your early tip?
Yeah, I'll stick with Trapeze Artist Andrew. I think I just went off a run too soon in the Premier Stakes, but he's obviously been set for this all the way through. He remained in training to head towards the obviously the Everest. And while I know the stable would prefer him on firm ground, his performance in the size as a two-year-old suggests he'll certainly get through it. So I'm not concerned with the prospect of the heavy track. And we know he just shows sharp improvement third up. When you look at his ratings projections, he's looking towards that sort of performance that he ran in the TJ. And if he runs up to that level of form, certainly confident he's going to be in the finish. And he just looks to lob into a lovely spot. It's going to be interesting to see who leads, whether Redzel hands up or Vega Magic comes across. Obviously, US Navy flag won't be far away, but either way, Trapeze just gets a nice run behind the speed. He's in the running line and expect him to certainly show his best on the weekend. So I'll stick with him, but yeah, obviously a very open race, but happy to be with Trapeze Artist.
Okay, currently at $8, was a one-time favourite in the races. We look at it now, Redzel $6.50, Shoal $7, Vega Magic $7.50, Trapeze Artist at $8, US Navy Flag at $8.50, and Santa Ana Lane at $9, and Brad's Tip In Her Time at $13. Simon, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with our Everest preview.